This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, puppy dogs of all ages, it's me, it's David D, and the man that's finally come over to the freshly squeezed side, it's none other than Orange, no, it's Chris Evans.
Watch that freshly squeezed stuff. I'm not coming over to the side of the freshly squeezed, but he finally got, you know, he got onto my good side with that last match.
Yeah, you said that so. You kind of enjoyed that street fight, and because right after that, I had put something on our Facebook page about getting your favorite wrestler in, instead of your favorite wrestler overall, one or two of your favorites in each individual promotion. And I was shocked when I saw you put Orange Cassidy. After all the things you said about that young man.
Well, I think everybody probably lost their lunch when they saw me put Orange Cassidy down. But you know what? I'll give the man credit. His gimmick is finally, he has a gimmick and people are just eating it alive.
Yes, they are.
So congratulations to Orange Cassidy. You gained my respect, sir, but I still can't stand you putting your hands in your pockets. But other than that, you're fine.
Yeah. By the way, we need to, before we get really into a whole lot more, we need to recognize the deaths of one of our local competitors. Jamin, the Super Destroyer, passed away. He was in the hospital with COVID-19. And Jamin did pass away. And what a wonderful man. I know you never got to meet him. But you did get to hear some of his interviews. He did several interviews with us, and we're going to replay one of those in just a little bit. But the Super Destroyer had also broken his neck a couple of years ago in an incident in the ring, and he had such a big, thick neck because he was a big man that the doctor said that was the only reason he wasn't paralyzed. And then he actually got back in the ring for a short time. I had not seen Super D for a while, but I was shocked to hear of his death. And I'll tell you, he was one of my favorites because he was a lot like me. He had a great sense of humor. He loved professional wrestling. And, Chris, one of the things that the last time I physically saw Super D, he asked me to overlook a booklet he was writing for people interested in becoming professional wrestlers with some of the jargon, some of the ups and downs of training for pro wrestling.
Oh, wow.
And it was an absolute honor to get to know the man. I wouldn't say we were really friends, but I would say we were really good acquaintances. And I'm going to miss the guy. I really am. So for his friends and family, I know that Tombstone Jesus was really taken back by that. They were friends. Also, Jagger Lane was friendly with him. And most of the guys in Salt Lake City and DCW knew of the Super D. So Super Destroyer, you will be missed. And then we had the other one that happened this week. Man, a shocker with Joe Laurinaitis, better known as Animal of the Road Warriors. And what a performer he was.
Oh, man, if you know anything about the Road Warriors, those guys, when they came in, I mean, the most tag team championships of, I think, of almost all time. I think the Dudley Boys are right behind them. But they've won every major title from the NWA, from the WWF, from WCW. These guys, they were even in, you know, they got a big start in Memphis as well.
Yeah.
A real shock to see Animal. I didn't even know he was sick the last time I saw him. He was on a podcast. He looked just fine to me, but you never know when that last card is going to get drawn, and it could be yours. So.
And today on our Facebook, the MK Bandit had put a little story about seeing the Road Warriors in Salt Lake City going against the Fabulous Ones. Wouldn't that have been fun to see?
Gosh.
To the edge. They had the crowd to the edge of violence. Because, you know, they were just the bad of the bad. And he said that during intermission, here comes Paul Ellering, the manager, and the Road mm-hmm. Warriors walking out the front door. And MK put that, you know, the fans were just kind of moving out of the way because, man, those were the two very intimidating young men, just bodybuilders, and worked very stiff from what I understand. That most people that got in the ring with them after everything went down, that they were pretty much beaten up because they worked very stiff.
Well, Hawk and Animal were both bouncers in Minnesota. I think Hawk was a bouncer in a bar. And Animal was just this big, bulky son of a gun. And his son plays football for the Rams, I believe.
Yeah. For a while, he played for Green Bay. So, yeah.
He'll definitely be missed. And I've got a picture of a ring with a lot of action figures from the past. And it has Animal on the apron, as a Hawk holding the ropes open for Animal to step through. It's like the pearly gates.
Wow.
So it's going to be interesting to see when I post that. But, yeah, our condolences go out to the family of both the Super Destroyer and the Animal. So
what we're going to do, Chris, here is we're going to be having the 10 bells for the Joe Laurinaitis and also for the Super Destroyer. And then right after the 10 bells, I'll have the interview, one of the last interviews I conducted with the Super D. That was at a Comic-Con event several years ago in Salt Lake City. But he talks about his wrestling career and how he's been in the ring with some of the greats, including one John Cena. We'll talk about that. That is coming up on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash. But first, for Joe Laurinaitis and Super D, Jamin, here are the 10 bells. And now on Turnbuckle Trash, we're going to go on the telephone right now and speak to one of my favorite indie performers. I saw this guy at the Salt Lake Comic Con last year, and I thought, man, this guy is my kind of wrestler. It's Super Destroyer. Super D, how you doing, man?
I'm good, baby. How you doing?
Oh, doing good, man. You put on such a good show at the Comic Con last year for us, and I appreciate you taking time to talk a little bit about this. Before we go too far, let's talk about your health, because you were injured seriously in a match. Let's, if it's not too painful, to kind of go back and tell our listeners on the podcast, Turnbuckle Trash, what really happened in that match.
We were working a benefit show for a little girl that needed a liver transplant. We were kind of running short on time. They had myself and two other gentlemen working a triple threat match for the main event. And just timing was off, I was off, and took a DDT funny, and it just compressed my T1 vertebrae.
So what does the future hold for Super D right now?
Well, you know, they say you can take the wrestler out of the business, but the business out of the not the wrestler, not the, you know what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be part of this, right?
I will always be part of the wrestling industry. It's who I am. It's in my blood. I just can't actively wrestle. So whether as a manager or help train or help promote, you know, whatever they need me to do, I'll be a part of.
Mm-hmm. I thought one of your strengths was when you were on the microphone. When you were taking questions from the crowd at the Comic-Con or whenever you took the microphone in any capacity, you kind of owned the place, and that's a real talent. And I got to take my hat off to you for that.
Well, I appreciate that. It's, as my daddy always said, I can never learn to shut up. I just have a gift just to talk. I may not be the best wrestler in the business, but I can talk my way pretty good.
Let's talk about your early career. What got you involved in professional wrestling?
I have always loved wrestling. I remember the first match I ever remember seeing was WrestleMania 2 with Hogan and Bundy in a steel cage.
Oh.
And that just impacted my life from that point forward. I thought to myself, That's what I want to do. Stepped in the ring the first time, 99 was when I had my first match.
Okay. And where has professional wrestling taken you? I know you've been basically an independent wrestler, but where has it taken you over the years?
I've worked Arizona and Colorado and New Mexico, part of Vegas, Utah, of course.
Yeah.
Just kind of the...
Now tell me a little bit about on the independent circuit. Does everybody on there... Is everybody fighting for a spot with the big guys, or is this something that you do just for the love of the business and for the love of professional wrestling and the fans and things like that, or was it something to make money at and, you know, make a career out of?
You know, I can't speak for everyone in the business. I can only speak for myself. And for me, it was just for, you know, the love of the game, the love of the crowd and just meeting people and traveling and just having these opportunities that I would never have doing something like this. I've had the opportunity to work in little schools in the middle of nowhere on the Navajo Reservation in Arizona and just seeing these kids just light up, seeing, you know, real live superheroes right in front of them. It's just all about, you know, experiencing it and embracing it and living it. It was never my goal to get to, you know, the WWE or TNA or Lucha Underground. It was all about just part of my little niche in the business, and I'm pretty happy with what I've done and accomplished.
Well, speaking for a fan, and you made a fan last year and me, and I've been watching wrestling since I was just a little kid, and I think I'm a little bit older than you. But thank you very much. And I wanted to ask you that question about how the kids react to a mask man. Like, you're the super destroyer, and how did the little ones react to you? Because you have this really great smile and this great way about you with children.
You know, kids love the mask. They look at that and they automatically think, you know, a superhero. Uh-huh. And I'm kind of a big guy, and, you know, just kind of get down a little, better level, talk with them and joke around with them and be happy and, you know, just let them have an experience that they'll remember.
Wow, that's incredible. And you got to be on the Navajo Reservation. And where was the most unusual location that you actually performed at?
Oh, wow. I've wrestled in rodeo arenas, a lot of like horse stalls, out in Vernal, and probably the most unusual was this little tiny gym. I don't think it was really a gym. It was like a multi-purpose room, but a lunch room that we set the ring up in. And the ceiling was so low that we couldn't really do anything too high because we just ran into the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
But we made it work, and the kids loved it, and it was a great show. I was working a tour down in Arizona, and the guys running pulling the ring with their truck, somehow miscommunication happened, and he went to the wrong town the wrong night. And as we were getting ready to start the show and looking around, the guys with the rings up there, and started to panic, and yeah, we had to start the show almost 2 hours late.
Wow. Well, that happens when you're a performer, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
We're speaking now with the Super Destroyer on Turnbuckle Trash, and Zane, you didn't get to see Super D in the ring, but let me tell you, this guy could really get a crowd really going in his direction. Very talented guy. I wanted to talk to you a few minutes, though, about the state of professional wrestling today. The independent circuit, the advent of YouTube channels and all that, that's got to have helped the independents a little bit, but is it also hindering the crowds?
I think, you know, it's kind of a two-way street. With things like YouTube, you can get out there and advertise yourself some more, get yourself reached out to promoters across the country a little bit quicker. But, you know, everybody uploads everything to YouTube. And some of the stuff that's uploaded isn't the greatest.
Yeah.
I know as an indie wrestler now, it's a really tough business. You know, the territories have died down. And there just isn't any promotions now that actually just tour. Mm-hmm. It's just always one place. And usually the same group of guys week in, week out.
You know, we actually talked to the people at Paragon Pro Wrestling out of Las Vegas, And we asked them about touring, and they were saying the cost of touring is so much that they would prefer just to right now concentrate on a TV program. On Pop TV is where they're available on. But that's got to make it very difficult to be seen by some of the other promoters. How would you, if you were a younger guy and you were still performing, how would you go about trying to get a little bit more notice and trying to wrestle for a different promotion outside of Utah?
You know, I would look and see what promotions would be something that I would like to work for. You know, a good, solid cover with a good reputation. You know, send them DVDs or send them a link to, you know, if I had a YouTube channel just specifically for the Super Destroyer. Just get my name out there, you know. There, I've got people now just wearing Super D T-shirts that I see around. And, you know, it's just kind of get your name out there, push yourself, do whatever it takes to get noticed, be different, be unique, not be afraid to, you know, think outside the box.
Tell us a little bit about how much, I mean, because you were injured in the ring, and you take a pretty serious risk going into the ring every time. And it's not just you, it's the person you're working with. How important is it to have trust in the people that you're working with in the ring?
Yeah, trust is so vital in this business because you're literally putting your life into somebody else's hands. The moves that we do, if not done properly, they can hurt, they can really severely injure somebody, or even kill people. But if you truly trust your partner or who you're working with, you can work through things. My accident, it wasn't a trust issue, it was just timing. I was off. I take full responsibility for my accident. But yeah, it's all about give and take and working as a team.
You got to be real proud to see somebody like Marty the Moth and some of these smaller independent guys really starting to get a shot on TV sometimes, right?
Oh, absolutely. You're seeing guys like Marty get out there and, you know, making a name for himself, that, you know, that reflects excellent on him and as Utah as a whole, being where he came from and working the indie scene here. It's, you know, made a lot of guys more hopeful about their future in the business.
You're not the original Super Destroyer. Tell us that story about how you came across that name, because I know you told me this at Comic-Con last year, and I was really touched by it. So why don't you tell us how you became the Super Destroyer?
Well, I've always been a fan of wrestling, and when I decided to, you know, pursue this, it was more than just as a fan, to be a performer, be a worker, be part of the business. I really wanted to pay my respects to those that have paved the way for this business. I had the opportunity to meet the original Destroyer, Dick Byer, and what a great guy he is, and just full of, you know, knowledge and love of the business. And, you know, I thought, yeah, maybe the Super Destroyer of work. Mm-hmm. You know, at that time, I didn't realize that there were, you know, 25 other Super Destroyers. But, yeah, Dick Byer will always be one of my mentors and idols.
Well, that's great. With that, we had a discussion a couple of weeks ago on one of our pods. Is the now breaking the kayfabe, which is so prevalent in the wrestling industry, do you think that's a good thing, a bad thing, or how do you feel about that as a worker, as a performer? What do you think about that?
You know, I think breaking kayfabe kind of helps, kind of destroys the, you know, the mystique of it. It's like seeing the magician, how he does his tricks. Kayfabe has always been really important to me. Like at Comic-Con, I wore a hood all day long. Just, you know, part of the business. We are performers. We're like magicians. We make the impossible happen.
And you really do. And I got to say this about you wearing the hood the whole time during Comic-Con. You came out one time with a red suit on, and you were styling, my man. You looked really good with that red hood and the red suit. I got to commend you on that. That was really cool.
Well, thank you, baby. It's all about the look.
That's all about the look.
So, Super D, what do you think is going to be in the future for you, man?
You know, I like to say, you know, one day get back in the ring, but I really don't think that's going to happen. But some different opportunities are coming up in the business that I may be a part of that would keep me pretty busy. and still involved in the wrestling world. Well, I know that I will continue to be a part of wrestling. It really is who I am.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the elephant before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Once again, we'd like to send out our condolences to the friends and family of the Super Destroyer, a local competitor that I got to meet a couple of times and struck up a pretty good little acquaintance, friendship with him. He was just a wonderful man. And also to the friends and family of Joe Laurinaitis. So we do have a lot of other things going on in professional wrestling. Man, it has just been busy the couple of weeks as the WWE swings, hits, and a lot of misses. And the guys at WWE, they either get it right or they just destroy it, don't they?
Well, they've been destroying it left and right ever since that Underground is basically like a belch from a bad onion. And this new faction that they have, it's all the Bangs, but they have what is it all about? Can someone explain this to me, please?
Retribution. I think it has a lot to do with what's going on socially right now. And I don't want to get into the social implications, but there's a lot of unrest, a lot of, we all know what's going on. And I think that they're kind of tapping into that here's this group of people think they've been done wrong. And they're just kind of tapping into the social unrest that is out there on both sides of the political issue. We're just in a trying time, to say the least. But I think that's where it is. I remember talking to the MK Bandit, and we were talking about storylines, and he said he was constantly trying to come up with storylines that were kind of newsworthy. What's going on in the world today? And I think with this social unrest, I think that's what they're trying to do. Whether it's working or not, I'll let you go ahead and say whether it's working yourself.
Well, I can already tell you it's not working.
Uh-huh.
Because the fans don't like it. I mean, as soon as they saw these new guys with all these masks and they're looking like the second coming of Batman and Bane, then you got all these voices. I really didn't care for it. I thought it was stupid. I really thought that it could have been, done a little bit better. But that one guy that had the white mask looked like he just picked up a dinner, those styrofoam plates and then cut out the holes. It looks so stupid.
I think people are guessing, who they are. One of them is probably Dominik Dijakovic coming up from NXT. I think he's the one that has the basic Bane mask. And then they didn't even try to change the appearance of Mia Kim with the blue hair. Yeah.
Yeah, they say Mia Kim was Keith Lee begged Vince to put her on Raw.
Yeah.
But come on, can you just, put better masks on these people? I mean, where is it? Did y'all go to the Halloween store and find this stuff?
I mean,
it was worse. It's worse than Cody Rhodes' dyed hair.
Well,
we'll get into that later. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, I think I put on Facebook that night when they came out Monday night on Monday Night Raw. I put a picture of Dean Ambrose. Remember when Vince had Dean Ambrose with the gas mask and all that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's all I could think of was because we were on the air talking about how much he sounded like Bane and he come out with a Bane jacket on. And here they are again. So to me, that's hurting the storyline with Retribution.
Oh, yeah, it's hurting the storyline. But we were all hoping that it was Roman Reigns that was, the leader of Retribution. But come to find out, it's just, I don't know who he is. Whoever it is, that's fine. If that's how you want to do it, WWE, that's fine. Your storylines are starting to become pathetic and stupid. Whoever's writing this stuff, stop. You're hurting this company so badly. And I put on the Facebook page, if you could be Vince McMahon for one day, what would you change? And you worded it just perfectly. I mean, it was right down the line what you put was just perfect.
Yeah,
the three-hour Raw, get the heck out of here.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. And then get rid of the Raw Underground, which I just don't think works in the least. The situation with, I can't even remember the guy's name, the big guy that took on Braun Strowman in their, quote, mm-hmm. main event of the evening.
Well,
here was Shane McMahon on the commentary, and he was trying to make it more than it was. Oh, look at those powerful punches. And they were just throwing like little jabs, you know. Those punches have got to hurt. And then I always complain, and I'm going to complain until the day I say, bury me under 6 feet of dirt. That camera work is ridiculously bad.
It says that it hurts your eyes and it just gives you a headache. Uh-huh. And you know what? This Underground is about as worse as the Brawl. See anything that really helps the Underground. I mean, it's a fight club on steroids with fake moves. That's all it is. I mean, we do have a Turnbuckle Trash Head that loves this.
Yeah, Isaiah. Yeah.
And I'm glad that you do, my friend. Isaiah, I'm glad that you do, my friend. Some people like to have their tongue stapled to a tent pole. But no, this is not good.
Yeah, I think
people like the French kiss light sockets. Come on.
I do think that they could make it a lot better. It just seems so hodgepodge. There's no rhyme nor reason to it. Or, you know, Braun Strowman coming over from SmackDown. Whoop-de-doo, you know. And Braun looks good. I mean, don't get me wrong, but wasn't he just in a major storyline that, that brought in some guy named Roman Reigns, and now he's not even mentioned with that story? Good grief, give me a break.
He went from, you know, being in the main event from, you know, the Universal Championship to going to the, I call it the D League, is going down to Underground.
I was going to call it.
Really, we can call it the F. We can go ahead.
I was going to call it the Outhouse. I mean,
I was going to call it the F League, but Underground, it needs to go bye bye. It's hurting the WWE. It's hurting the ratings, and it's hurting the fans' eyes, and it's also hurting their hearts. I just can't stand it no more. There to me, bye bye.
I will, you know, I did give him credit a couple weeks ago for at least trying something different, and hope maybe I'll grow to like it, but maybe not. So that's enough of this Raw Outhouse, I mean Underground matches that are going on right now. Thunderdome. Uh-huh. Let's talk about their interactive with the fans. Thunderdome. What a joke.
Okay, you explain, you tell me, what do you think about the Thunderdome? To me, all it is a bunch of fans that are on TVs, which I really don't believe half of these people are actually on here. I think they're grabbing, you know, video clips of people and then putting their face on there. I really don't think it's really fans watching this like this. I really don't. I really do not.
Well, I do. I think it is. I think they do have people lined up, but I think on the last time you and I talked, I said that especially on the first couple of rows, the screens are just way too big. And I'm going to explain this. I can't remember what match from Monday Night Raw, but I actually laughed, and I'm not laughing at this person. I'm laughing at the situation as I saw it. Okay. So some of the action in the ring spills out, and it goes over towards where the ambulance was. Okay, if you remember that.
Yep.
And then they, you know, you got some of the people that are on those screens. One of them looks like he's kind of getting into the match a little bit. And then there's the – it's going to make me laugh every time I think about this. There was this woman who was on the screen. You know, she was on the very bottom row. And she pushed her head backwards like she was laughing maybe. And all I could see was up her nose, and she needed to trim those daggum nose hairs.
Wow.
It, And I could see her mouth wide open.
That's going above and beyond.
It was. It made me laugh, okay? And I hope that it doesn't get back to this lady, because it didn't put her in a good light. But I found myself, Chris, maybe you do this too. I find myself being distracted while I'm watching, trying to see what these goofballs in the background are doing, because some of them are holding up belts or little signs, and some of them are fake cheering, like, come on, come on, come on. It's very, it looks very fake to me. That's my main problem with Thunderdome.
Well, I have a lot of problems with the Thunderdome. I mean, it's not the same as the regular, the real fans. And I mean, they're piping in all this noise. It acts like that there's thousands of people in there. You look at the Thunderdome and you can hear everything that they say. You know what's going on, and it's just, oh man, it's just bad. The Thunderdome needs to go bye-bye.
Yeah,
it does. I mean, when are we going to be able to get back to the arenas and actually do this for real? God only knows when this is going to happen.
Yeah, we don't know when it's going to happen, and I don't know about what's going on in North Carolina. I do know what's going on here in Utah. And I think it was yesterday, a record amount of COVID-19 cases have been diagnosed in our state. And, you know, whether, you know, you think it's overblown or what, people are getting very, very ill. One of my coworkers posted something this morning about when he had it for 2 weeks. He said it was the worst thing he's ever been through. But he also had someone in his house that had tested positive that had no symptoms. So, you know, we're in a situation that we're in, and we're just going to have to find ways to be patient. I guess that's it. But here comes All Elite Wrestling. And, you know, at the Daily Place, they are having a limited amount of fans come in.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say it's good or bad. I mean, to be honest with you, that's their decision. It's the fans' decision whether they're taking too big of a chance. But it does add a little bit more ambiance to their matches, although AEW does still use some of the piped-in crowd noise. So,
Turnbuckle Trash is growing. Now, Turnbuckle Trash can be heard on Apple Podcasts, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and TuneIn.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Mm-hmm, it does. And speaking of AEW, there's been a lot of good things, and there's been a lot of bad things. I mean, they've been having good matches, but they've also been having some not so good matches. I mean, their product is still up and about. They're still a big working company, but some of their storylines are starting. The Dark Order is really starting to get on my nerves. I don't understand. It looked like one of the two looks like Shark Boy with that mask. He looks like Shark Boy.
The first time I saw him, I thought it was Shark Boy. I'm glad you said that.
He looked like Shark Boy.
Give me a shell, yes.
Yeah, I was expecting him to break out the clam juice in a few minutes and start drinking it.
He does look like Shark Boy, doesn't he?
He looks like Shark Boy.
That's hilarious.
I mean, but the Dark Order, I mean, AEW is taking a lot of shots at them.
Oh, a lot of shots at Vince. And then they're not only taking shots at Vince, but did you hear about the shot they took at James E. Cornette?
Really?
Yes. You know, Jimmy has been very not nice in his criticism of the All Elite Wrestling.
Yes, I know.
And here's the latest, the way I can kind of understand it. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I'm just a fan like you guys, but I absolutely laughed out loud at one thing that happened last night, and it was nothing but a shot at Jim Cornette. Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss are a tag team, And basically, they tag on AEW Dark. And they do have some matches occasionally on the big show. And there was a thing that came out late last week, I think it was, that Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss wanted to name their team the New Midnight Express.
Oh, shoot.
I think that James E. Cornette said more than, oh, shoot.
Well, I'm on a Facebook page called The Cult of Cornette. And Jim's already lost one lawsuit with a wrestler. And he's already, and let's just say this, and we are, and is Jim outspoken or what?
He is very outspoken, and he is very colorful in his language, and most of it involves letters that are words that you can spell in one, two, three, four letters.
Yeah, well.
The man he can let the expletives fly, as Kramer said on Seinfeld. Go ahead.
Jim is just, that's just him. But you know what? They take shots at Jim Cornette. And, look, Jim Cornette has got more wrestling experience than everybody in AEW has in their little pink. Brought in from the Memphis area with Jerry Jarrett. He learned from Jerry Jarrett. And, he's one of the best. One of the best managers of all time, one of the best commentators until he said something about a bucket of chicken. But other than that, Jim is one of the best commentators and managers that I've personally not nearly met, but he's one of the best, but he's too outspoken.
He is a little bit too outspoken for me too, but I do have a great deal of respect for Mr. Cornette. But with this situation with AEW and Sonny Kiss and Joey Janela wanting to call themselves the New Midnight Express, evidently there were some threats of legal action, which you can understand with Mr. Cornette's Midnight Express, one of my favorite heel tag teams of all time. What was it, Dennis Condrey and Beautiful Bobby Eaton? That was the team that I liked. They had some other sweet Stan Lane was a member of the Midnight Express for a while. But anyway, that's the ones I look at. So, whether he had a copyright on it, I don't know. But that was a direct shot at some of his criticism of All Elite Wrestling. And then comes the show that we watched. Now, we're recording this on a Thursday morning. So this was on Wednesday night, All Elite Wrestling. Here comes Joey Janela and Sonny Kiss, and they're cutting a promo before they get into the ring. And Joey Janela talks about them becoming this very successful tag team, and they are on the Express to the title.
Oh, my gosh.
I laughed out loud. And I bet Cornette, when he hears that, because I don't think he watches live, but I bet he was going to have himself a four letter word buffet.
Oh, I bet you he broke it. Yeah, I bet you he broke every piece of furniture in his house.
I'm hoping
he
laughed.
Heard that. I know he.
Hope he laughed because it was funny. Come on.
Yeah. So, well, he doesn't have a real good sense of his sense of humor is not really the best in the world. But he tries to have a good sense of humor.
Yeah.
But it's not that easy.
And, I have listened to his podcast several times, and I've enjoyed it. I have said it right on this podcast. I do get a little tired of his tirades that are just filled with language that, you don't need to use all the time. And I'm not one to say that I haven't used that language in the past, but I can have a civil conversation without using it all the time. And I think he just relishes the fact that he can say a four-letter word. And
he's a Democrat, and he hates our president, and he hates everything about life in general unless it's around him. But that's understandable, Jim. If that's the way you want to be, that's fine. Live your own life and live in your own world. And just do what you got to do. But, AEW's been taking a lot of – it's been good for a little bit. Sometimes their shows put you to sleep just like NyQuil. But it's good. I don't mind it. I just can't stand the Dark Order right now. But Miro, if that's what he's called, I think they're building him up pretty good. And he said he's going to go to another organization here shortly.
Who is that again?
Miro, or, you know, Rusev.
Oh, the former Rusev? No, he's
Miro. Huh?
He's signed with All Elite, so he'll be there for a while. So what's going to happen with Lana?
Second promotion.
Well, that
Lana's going to be interesting.
Now get back to this. All Elite is letting some of their wrestlers out to be able to make money. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's got an exclusive with All Elite. So he might wind up on NWA when they get going up again.
Let's hope so. Yeah, I'd love to see it. Because I mean, look at Thunder Rosa. She's been just on AEW like crazy.
Yeah,
it's just been nuts. And then that tribute that she had to Animal with the face paint was perfect.
I love that.
That was wonderful. But I've been seeing a lot of good things with AEW. They've been doing pretty well. But I will have to give another organization credit here. Thank you, Ring of Honor, for the tournament that you're putting on for this Pure title.
Isn't that awesome?
Yes. Love it. It is good.
If you haven't watched Ring of Honor in the last, the last 3 weeks, I think it is, find it. They're doing a tournament to come up with what they call the Pure Championship. It's a title belt that they had retired when, what was it, the Daniel Bryan, people know him by, he defeated Nigel McGuinness. And they just put the two belts together. So they're doing this again, and they're doing basically empty arena matches, and they are really, really good. A lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they're really fun. I mean, this title tournament is getting to be better and better every day, and I'm loving it. I mean, I'm hoping Jay Lethal gets it. I really do. I'm hoping Jay gets the title.
Yeah, I hope so, too. That's my favorite.
Yeah, I'm hoping Jay gets it. That would be... So he's a grand slam right off the bat. Well, no, he can't be because he never won a tag. I don't think so.
Well, they're the tag champions right now, he and Jonathan Grisham.
Oh, they are. I didn't know. I've just kept up with the Pure. I haven't really kept up with Ring of Honor that much.
Right.
So, everything in professional wrestling is going, I guess, okay with New Japan. I haven't been keeping up with that either.
I haven't either. So
I just can't do it right now. But the NWA... I haven't heard anything about the end except for their pay-per-view that's coming, or whatever it is. Nick Aldis and whoever is going to go up for the title. I guess he was in the WWE a while back, and they let him go. I can't remember what his name was. Not Bennett.
Yeah, it is. I think it is Michael Bennett.
Yeah, it's Michael Bennett. That's it. It's Michael Bennett. But also, Jerry the King Lawler's coming up with his 50th anniversary in wrestling. Still happening. Hopefully everything works out for there. And
in Jackson, Tennessee.
Huh? Yeah, in Jackson. And ladies and gentlemen, if you get to see Bill Superstar Dundee, please look him up and do this again, because the last picture I saw of the superstar, Father Time has just been hitting him with a stick.
Well, he's over 70 years old. So is Jerry.
Yes, he is. Yeah. So, and I mean, Father, and you know what? What he said, because he was so cute. He's not cute anymore. That old man right there is just a walking wrinkle.
But he goes to the gym probably 4 and 5 times a week. And by the way, back to Jerry Lawler, did you see the Broken Skull sessions between Jerry Lawler and Stone Cold on the WWE Network?
Not yet, but I want to see it. How was it?
It is fascinating. It is so good. They go from Jerry's early days as being an artist. They talk about him sending in artwork to the studio and Lance Russell putting him on the air, and then how he got his first professional match in West Memphis, Arkansas, when he had no training. And they talk a lot about the career, and then they get on up and talking about this 50th anniversary. It is an incredible watch, and I complain about the WWE. You do too, and sometimes it is very, very well founded. But when the WWE does a documentary, or when they do their kind of podcast thing, like Stone Cold's a podcast,
oh yeah,
incredibly well done. So I will tip my hats to them on that one.
They knock it out of the park.
And their documentaries, and now that's part of the Peacock Network, our streaming mm-hmm. service. You can watch some of their documentaries and old matches. I don't get into old matches, but some of the documentaries that these guys do, mm-hmm. you know, somebody that's does a little broadcasting themselves, I am just tip my hat to them. They are incredible. So why can't they take that incredible creativeness that they have and stop this stupid camera work on the underground? I'll get back to that.
Well, I think we'll always hit on underground, and we can call it underwear underground. I don't know what to call it anymore.
So I was going to ask you one other quick thing, and you touched on it earlier. It happened on AEW.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. It's the return of one Cody, and he looked slightly different than the last time we saw him.
Yeah, okay, that's great. He has a new look. Look what Cody... Okay, you dyed your hair back brown. Big whoop-dee-doo.
It wasn't brown, Chris. It was black. And it looked as bad as that tattoo as he has on his neck, which I don't like that. But it just didn't look good.
I like the blonde hair. He looked like his daddy. And, I mean, come on. You go back to this right here. What's the next... wear a face shield? So is he gonna be the version of the broken, is he gonna be broken by because of what happened with him in the Dark Order? I mean, heck, didn't you have a fractured neck? That didn't take too long to reheal yourself. What happened? I guess they're begging for the storyline to come back, but you know what? It didn't impress me whatsoever when Cody came back. Okay, that's great.
Uh-huh.
Okay, wonderful.
Now there is a possibility.
Dyed your hair, that's wonderful.
There is a possibility that Cody might have been off filming a TV show, and I believe it's going to be on Showtime. That Stephen Amell, the guy from Arrow, is going to be a part of, and it's all about mm-hmm. professional wrestling. And Stephen Amell, the star of Arrow, mm-hmm. and Cody are very, very good friends and also business partners in a mm-hmm. winery. So I don't know for a fact, but I told my wife last night I would not be surprised that Cody was out for a few weeks and maybe he was out filming and they went back to this black hair, because Cody did several co-starring roles on the Arrow TV series, which I loved that show so much.
Wouldn't Cody make a good Robin to a Batman?
Pretty much.
I don't know if I just insulted Batman or not. Uh-huh. Okay, rat.
And then I got to ask you another question. I'm going to ask you another question here, okay?
Go ahead.
Young Bucks.
Sure.
Are the Young Bucks going to be heels now?
Yes.
Okay.
It's time for the Young Bucks to go heel. I think after they super kick the referee and then they throw the... Wasn't it so obvious that Tony Khan was like, okay, I'm going to give you a stack of bills, and I want you to throw my money back at me real quick, okay? You don't have it. So, yeah, they're like, if you want to find us, find us, and then they throw the money. That's like, oh, come on. Really?
And then with Kenny Omega and Hangman uh-huh. Adam Page, this storyline's being kind of drug out a little bit.
Yes,
is it going to be a feud between the two, or are they, because every time Adam Page has a match, here comes Omega, and it looks like mm-hmm. Kenny is going to be going on the heel side of things. I thought it was going to be Adam Page, but I think he's going to remain a face during all this, at least for a while.
I really can't even tell. I've lost the storyline. Hangman Page couldn't win a match, and now he's winning matches. It's strange, but Kenny turning heel, please let him turn heel.
Mm-hmm.
Become the cleaner again like you were, Kenny. Come on. I mean, but no, I don't know. The Hangman storyline is already, it's run its course. But we'll see. That's all we can do. We can hopefully see in their next pay-per-view that's coming up. And I think, what is it, Chris Jericho's having his 30th anniversary or something?
October the 7th. It's going to be on TNT, his 30th anniversary. I cannot wait for that. I think they'll probably bring back some old retired wrestlers when Chris was just starting. And then as I got to say, Chris is doing some of his best work right now.
Oh, yeah.
With his promo work and his announcing work. If he ever retires from the ring, he's got to be a ringside announcer. He's got to do commentary.
I think he could probably take Jim Ross's spot if Jim decides, you know, to bow out.
Yeah.
I think he could probably take Jim's spot. He's good at commentary.
Oh, he's so funny at times.
Yes.
So that's going to be October the 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a lot of fun for All Elite.
Is a dangerous man.
One dangerous dude. But I was bad to the bone. Bad to the bone.
Oh, I'm bad. Amazing why.
But playing is no plan. Are you kidding me, Chico?
The most dangerous person on the internet is...
is one dangerous dude.
Yes, he is. Yes, yes, he is.
I'm a bad, bad man. I'm a...
Yeah, you're damn right he is.
This segment's actually being recorded 2 days after the Clash of Champions, and what an event the WWE finally had.
It was a decent pay-per-view.
It was awesome.
It was a good pay-per-view.
It was awesome.
What was your favorite of all? What was your favorite match?
Favorite match?
Favorite. What? Okay, how about favorite moment?
The favorite moment it goes for my favorite match. When the ladder match, triple threat ladder match, was my favorite match of the night.
Yes,
and when Sami Zayn pulls out the handcuffs and handcuffs are ear cuffs through the gauges in Jeff Hardy's ear, I was cheering so loud because I hate gauges. And I'm not a big Jeff Hardy fan in the long run, but the gauges, I want to do that so bad. Grab hold of them gauges, yank on it. But I'm a nice guy, so I won't do it.
Oh, my gosh.
Wasn't that fun, though, that part?
It was good. I mean, a lot of people, there was one on our Facebook page that Sammy cheated. He cheated. And I was like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It was no rules.
Yeah. I still like it.
But now, did you hear what the controversy was when he went backstage?
That he's a bit of a jerk backstage.
He pulled his pants down and told Vince to kiss his rear end.
Oh, he ain't going to hold on to that belt very long now, is he?
Well, I mean, Sammy has every right to do what he did. I think he does, because Sammy's been not used the correct way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, wouldn't you like to see Sammy come back as El Generico?
Oh, as a matter of fact, you know, my wife is starting to like some of the wrestling again, especially AEW. But she said to me, are you going to watch Clash of Champions? And we were really busy on Sunday evening visiting with some friends, so I didn't get to see it live. And then Monday was just swamped with work and other things. So we actually watched it on Monday night. And while the match was going on, I said, my favorite ladder match I've ever seen is Sami Zayn as El Generico and Kevin Steen, now known as Kevin Owens, back in ROH days.
Oh, man. Those two lit it up in ROH.
Mm-hmm.
Gosh. Oh, my God. I will admit, that was the best match of it all. I mean, that one tore the house down. I wasn't expecting Sammy to win the title, but you know what? I'm happy for Sammy. It's about time they gave him a little bit of a push. How long will it last? We'll never know.
Well, if he dropped his trowel and mooned Vince, Vince isn't going to take that too good.
Of course.
Uh-huh.
All the matches were good, but now we have a couple of wrestlers that we've just come to find out that they were not cleared to wrestle.
Yeah, and three of them, they were all women wrestlers. Now, here's the deal. I don't know if you've read about it. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler were not cleared. It is not clear at this time if they have COVID-19 or if they were just exposed to it. There's a big, big difference. And then Nikki Cross, the same way, might have been exposed to it. And, you know, most organizations are going to err on the side of caution right now. And pretty much, if you have been exposed to COVID-19, you are in quarantine no less than 7 days, if not 2 weeks.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So that's what happened.
Well, I mean, I can understand that, but I really thought that even the ladies were kind of upset about it.
Yeah, they were. I can understand. Yeah.
That's a payday for them, and plus they're not being on the pay-per-view, and that hits their back pockets like crazy.
Yeah, it does. So
I can understand that.
We don't like not getting paid, I'll tell you that. So.
Well, heck, I never like not getting paid. But tell me some more of what you really were thinking with this. Was this a better pay-per-view?
I was kind of surprised because I really wanted to see Nikki Cross and Bayley. You know, I was kind of down about that. And then Bayley cuts this great promo in the ring. As a heel, she is doing fantastic. I love the work she's doing right now as a heel. And when she had that open challenge, and then I was expecting somebody from the SmackDown roster to come out, and out comes Asuka not too long after she had already had her match with Zelina Vega, and they put on another good match that ended in disqualification as Bayley used the chair, and then one of the big swerves of the evening occurred when Sasha Banks showed up and started wearing out Bayley with a steel chair.
Well, that was a good one right there. I mean, I was hoping Bayley would do more, but, you know, it's good that Sasha's back as well. So I really liked that was a good match. I mean, I was hoping that Sasha would do something else, you know, injure Bayley at the same time, but it didn't happen.
Well, you know, they're always setting up, you know, for Hell in a Cell. That's coming up at the end of the month. You got to think about how some... We have accused the WWE, and I think rightly so in the past, about not building up storylines. And don't be surprised. I don't know this for a fact. I didn't finish watching Raw from Monday night as of yet, so I don't know if they announced anything, but they probably won't until Friday, a Hell in a Cell match between Bayley and Sasha Banks. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. So they've been building on this. They're building up to Hell in a Cell. I think that's what they did. I think originally they had planned to do a match with Nikki Cross. Something would happen, and then Sasha Banks would come out and do the same thing. But then basically it was Asuka stepping up and getting a little extra scratch in her pocketbook.
Well, yeah, I mean, but it was by the time we see Sasha and Bayley going into Hell in a Cell. I mean, I would love this needs to be a knockdown drag out. It's going to be hair pulling and cat fighting and moves that these two ladies can do, and I'm hoping they'll do it. But are you tired of the storyline right now with these two, or is it just is it dragging on too much?
I don't think it's dragging on too much at all.
Good.
Basically, Bayley turned on Sasha within the past month.
Well, I really haven't seen too many. I mean, Sasha and Bayley, they really don't have that much, too much to work with the ladies. I mean, they don't have anybody that can really step up to these two. Because they really tear the house down every time that they're in the ring together.
Yeah.
I really don't see anybody. Is there anybody else that can hang with these two besides
Asuka?
No, I really don't see it.
I think Shayna Baszler could, given the opportunity.
Well, Asuka can, yeah.
Asuka, Shayna Baszler. I was so disappointed not being able to see Shayna Baszler again. I am a huge fan of that lady as a wrestler, as a competitor. She is what she is, and that's all she is. She's Popeye the Sailor Man, you know? And
I
think if she was on the SmackDown roster, she could do very well against Bayley or so Sasha Banks. But on the SmackDown roster, Nikki Cross does good. The character Alexa Bliss is going into could do some work. But basically, if you want to look at the top four, to me, in all of the WWE right now, including NXT, would be Bayley, Sasha Banks, Asuka, and Shayna Baszler. That is my opinion, because Charlotte Flair is still off injured.
Yeah, I saw that. I forgot that she had become injured and that she's giving updates on her condition, but I really haven't seen anything of when possibly her return can be.
Yeah.
So, but what was your next one of Clash of Champions? Mine was, it was Roman Reigns and the Uso was good. I mean, just went back and forth. Jay was good.
When I said, what was my favorite match?
Uh-huh.
To me, match was the triple threat ladder. Favorite
yes.
storyline of the evening. Oh, baby. That Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, that they just knocked that out of the park.
I loved it at the end where he stood in the middle of the ring and he's holding the belt and he's got the lay on his neck. And then the next morning, there was a cryptic tweet.
Cryptic.
From an individual. A cryptic tweet. An individual that will not that will never cross my lips ever again.
Tweet, tweet.
I'll just say this. Dwayne has made his little presence known that if you'll look it back up, it says that gods are gods and kings are kings and something like that. I think we're fixing to see The Rock come back for the WrestleMania. And that's when Roman Reigns will cement his legacy because I don't think they'll let The Rock win the title. I think that they'll make it to where The Rock comes in, challenges Roman Reigns to WrestleMania for the title, and that's when Roman cements his legacy by beating Mr. I've Chosen Anything Else But the Truth. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Made that prediction, and I poo-pooed it. I said I don't think it was happening, but I think you were right, my man. I mean, gloat over me. Chris was right.
Well, no,
I think that's going to happen.
All I'm seeing is the cryptic tweet, and now he's starting. But wait a minute. You've got COVID-19. How long is this going to last, Rock? Will it end before WrestleMania?
That's going to be right around the time when something's going to happen, but.
Of course.
I the storyline, going back to that match.
Gosh.
I have been begging the WWE to go Roman Reigns as a heel. And I think we've even talked about all three of us. Zane, hi, how are you doing? We miss you. He'll be back with us soon.
Cool.
I think we've all, said have Paul Heyman with him to be the mouthpiece. But
yes.
Roman Reigns did a great job in the ring. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to pause right here, Chris, because I'm going to take sections of that match between Jey Uso and Roman Reigns, and it's just going to be nothing but Roman doing trash talk. And listen to this. It is incredible.
I told you to take the payday. I told you to lay down. Are you ready? I'm not ready yet. I'm not. You brought me all the way out here. You brought the cheap all the way out here, huh?
Yeah.
Acknowledge me. Say it to me. I want you to call me chief. Acknowledge me as your tribal chief, Bruce. Do it. Do it now, and this is done.
Yeah.
Do it now.
Nah.
Do it now.
Do it.
Do it now.
Do it.
Yeah. Say it.
Yeah. But I'm the head of the table. You understand? Look at this.
You see my camera over here? That's my camera. This is my WWE. Tell the whole world that I am the head of the table, the tribal chief, the boss. I own it all. I run it all. I feed everyone. You tell them. Tell the whole world now.
Not today. Not today.
Here. You are my tribal chief. You are my tribal chief. You are my tribal chief!
I don't want you to tell me. I need him to acknowledge me. That is how this works right now. I need him to. I need you to acknowledge me. This is not that you don't. You understand me? Don't ever make me address you again. I will knock your ass in the next week and you won't have a job. You shut your mouth and let me go to work. Family business here.
Yeah.
Acknowledge me! Acknowledge me. Come on. I've been whooping his ass like this my whole life.
Jake, are you safe?
No. You won't acknowledge me. The whole family's watching right now. The whole family's watching right now. Your children, my nephews are watching right now.
Jimmy Uso, Jay's brother.
Jay's twin brother out here.
Come here. I'm throwing this in, Uso. You hear me? I'm throwing this in, Uso. It's all good. You don't need to prove a damn thing in this fool. You hear it? You don't need to prove nothing to this fool, Uso. I'm throwing it in, Uso. Oh, do it.
You're in the knee, and you tell me that I'm the head of the table. Don't do it. The whole world know.
Forgive him. Don't do it. Don't do it.
Our whole lives. And you're going to listen to him?
Come on, Uso. I'm throwing it, Uso. I'm throwing it, man.
Don't throw this.
Don't throw this. Come on, man. Ring the bell. Ring the bell. That's enough, man. You got it, right? That's what you want, man. You got it. This is what you want. We family, man. What the hell wrong with you, Uso? You the chief, man. You the tribal chief. That's what you want. You got it, man. Just leave him alone. You the chief, Uso. Two.
Here's your winner and still the Universal Champion, Roman Reigns.
The trash talk he did in that match with Jay and with Jimmy when he came out in the ring, even with Charles Wright, the referee, and even at times he was shouting at Michael Cole over on the side. That's the best work I've ever seen Roman Reigns do, honestly.
Who did that remind you of back in the day? Who does that remind you of?
I guess a little bit of The Rock.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's said the same exact thing. I hesitate to make comparisons because Roman Reigns is going to be who Roman Reigns is, and The Rock had more personality, if that's the right term. Dwayne has this presence about him that's made him a movie star. And he has also got this great smile. And not that Roman doesn't have a great smile, but you are right, man. He put on the whitening strips way too much. Them teeth is white. You know what I'm talking about? He's been drinking bleach or something. So
he has. He's done something. I don't know what it is.
Ooh, them is some white. There's some white choppers there on Roman.
Some white ones there. Go ahead.
That's why I hesitate to make comparisons like that. You know, I don't think Roman Reigns is ever going to be The Rock, and he shouldn't be. He should be Roman Reigns. And I know that people are going to make these comparisons right and left, but I refuse to do it myself. I think I know where you're going to with this, but they're in the same family. They're both of Samoan heritage, and they're cousins. So, you know, that's fine. I think let Roman be this great heel he's going to be. I love it.
Well, see, he begged Vince to make him a heel.
Yeah.
After SummerSlam, he says, okay, do it. Please do this. It's the only way. We need something to start, you know, the fire back up in the fans. And he needed to be a heel. He looks like a heel.
He looks like a heel. I said that to my wife last night.
He looks a heel. He's got these tattoos, and he's ripped from end to end. And, I mean, the son of a gun needs to be a heel. He should have stayed a heel from the beginning of his career.
Yep.
He should have been just a major heel. And who's been helping him with his promo skills and everything? It has to be Paul Heyman. It's got to be. Because Paul is the one, you know, he's the magic on the mic. But my question is, okay, Brock Lesnar, and I'm not getting off the subject. Brock Lesnar is a free agent. If he goes to AEW, let him go. Let's say that hypothetically, Brock comes back. Okay, does Paul stay with Brock or does Paul stay with both?
You know
They're both Paul Heyman guys, so.
You know, I'm so over Brock Lesnar. To be honest with you.
We all are over Brock.
You know, I see it all over the internet. Brock Lesnar's coming back. CM Punk is going to come back. You know, I'm so over both of them, I don't even care. I mean, honestly.
Well, Punk's not coming back. If he was, he would have already done it by
Yeah, and if either one of them come back, fine. I don't want them to come back, and I don't care. I mean, honestly, I just don't care, to be honest with you, if either one of them come back.
I don't care if either one come back. I care less if Brock goes to AEW. I could care the heck less, sorry. because I'm tired of looking at that sphincter of a face, and I mean, I just can't stand the look at him. And I mean, the man, all he does is milk money out of a company and only has 4 matches a month, and that's it.
But
so,
you know what?
I've
also cheered him for doing that, taking all the money he can, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't blame him a bit. Money talks.
And I guess Brock, you know, sells a lot of merchandise and puts, as you always say, butts in the seat. But, you know, I'm just not a fan, you know, and I know people are fans, and I'm not trying to offend anybody. I just don't care, you know. It's just one of those things. And I imagine that there are people out there that don't like the same wrestlers I do. Shock upon shock, you know. So
of course. Well, let's jump off of that, and let's go to Drew McIntyre and Randy Orton. What do you think about that match?
I really enjoyed the match. It wasn't, you know, if it hadn't have been for the other matches, I would have been saying, you know, it'd have been number one or number two. But I would solidly put that as a number three. I loved the little twist in it. As soon as I saw that hand from the Big Show, I looked at my wife and said, "You're going to be seeing Flair. You're going to be seeing Christian. You're going to be seeing Shawn." And they did, but it was still fun to watch. Even though I knew what was going to happen in the match, it was still a fun match to watch.
Oh, I already knew once we saw the Big Show. I was like, okay, Shawn's fixing the super kick. Christian's fixing to do something. And then when all of a sudden they pan around and you see this white hair old man sitting in the driver's seat, because that's all he could basically do now.
Yeah.
And he drives away. That's fine. That was perfect. I loved it for Flair. That was good.
Yeah, I liked
it. But then it was Monday Night Raw. You're going to get a shock because it's a lot of fun to watch on Raw what happens.
Was a great pay-per-view, and maybe because I have been so disappointed over the last couple of years.
Yeah,
over the most of the WWE pay-per-view events have been underwhelming for the most part. There have been individual matches that have been good. There have been individual pay-per-views that have been solid. But I really just enjoyed from the opening bell to the closing bell everything that happened. I mean, even, you know, just little things that happened. Seeing, you know, in the triple threat ladder match, the thing with the earlobe and the gauge, I thought was hilarious. And then seeing the little bitty chair that was thrown and hits AJ Styles basically in the head. And then Sami Zayn's back was just awesome. It was just a solid, I think, one of the best they've put on probably in the last 3 years. Honestly, that's the way I go with it.
The pay-per-view was good, and I have no problems with it. And I thought that every match was not a barn burner, but every match was good. It wasn't something that you just started yawning in the middle of it.
Right.
And it was good.
It kept my attention the whole time. And I even texted with Zane, who's still doing a lot of work in his job, and he's almost through with his extra work. And I said, dude, because I know he is a Sami Zayn fan. And I didn't put any kind of spoilers in it. I said, dude, you have got to watch the triple threat ladder match. And I said, you will love it. And I haven't heard anything from him yet about what he thought of it. But I bet he was cheering the same way I was. It was a solid pay-per-view. And I'll give the credit to the announcers. They all did a fantastic job. Because I listened for the announcers.
Well, every one of them did.
Yeah.
Every one of them did. But speaking of shocks, I put something on the Facebook page that you were even surprised about. And I don't know how they're getting away with this and how Rock did. He's going to be on Impact?
You know what? He doesn't have a contract.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't have a contract. He's not even a... If he had... The WWE has something called Legends Contracts, and that's okay. for people like Ron Simmons and the Godfather and some of the other older wrestlers. They go out to all these different Comic-Con events and different sports cards events under the auspices that the WWE helps them get there, but they are under what's something called a Legends Contract. Now, I know this because I tried to get an interview with Ron Simmons, and his handler, somebody from the WWE, pulled me aside and said, no, we can't do that because of the Legends Contract. Then fast forward to last year about, well, it was just over a year ago when I met Jerry Lawler, and I mentioned that to him because I wasn't prepared to do any kind of interview with him. He says, I don't have a contract with the WWE. And then Jerry surprised me when he said, I never have had a contract with the WWE.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know that part. I really thought he was under contract. Oh, wow.
You know, maybe maybe when he was a wrestling talent, he might have. But I'm thinking maybe, you know, maybe when he's come and gone as a commentator, that I don't think he's ever had. That, you know, that's what I think he meant, to be honest with you. But,
That's true.
I'm going to kind of fast forward this a little bit, maybe change the subject just a hair.
Go ahead.
Because
please, let's do it. Yeah.
In the current political climate, there is a gentleman who was a presidential candidate, not now, but he is, he is basically a Democrat. Okay. I know. Calm down, Chris. I'm going to agree with the Democrat. He said that if he has the opportunity, and he's counting on Biden to win, that he says that if this happens, he's going to launch an investigation against the WWE and how they treat their talent, because they are considered individual contractors. They are not supposedly not under a contract with the WWE. That's how they get away without paying their transportation costs or at least helping out. They don't pay for health care. And then they place all these restrictions. Most recently, remember the big furrow about anything that was placed on social media outside of the WWE, because Lana had endorsed a sports drink, and that's what brought that about. So at this point, and I'm basically a conservative. I don't call myself a Republican, but I am fairly conservative. I have got to agree with this man. Something needs to be done to have this individual, you know, contractor, whatever they call this term, to take care of that, to give these guys just a little bit more freedom. If they're paying for their own health care, if they're paying for their own travel, most of their own food, their own hotels, they should have a little bit more control over what their lives do. And if the WWE doesn't like it, man, you know, I gotta back this guy up. I think it's gonna happen.
Well, I can understand that, and I respect it. And if something like that was to happen, I've got a bunker deep in the hills of North Carolina. My stuff's gonna go into.
Can I come? So,
yeah, please do. I'll have all the old rest. We'll even bring Jim Cornette along with us. We'll have a podcast that way. Let's see what kind of views we get.
We couldn't get Jim in there. I might have to kick him in as well.
Well,
you know, as Roman Reigns did with his arm last night, right into Jey Uso's family jewels.
Yes, but it's all good. The pay-per-view was wonderful, and we had a great time watching it. And it was a lot of fun. But right now, the WWE has still got a little bit of a problem with retribution. I think it's the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Now, like I said, I haven't seen all of Monday Night Raw. Did retribution show up on Monday Night Raw?
I don't think they did. I never saw them. Now, they could have been in the background, and we never saw them at all.
But some of the internet stuff said that several members of the Retribution had been in contact with people with COVID-19, and that might have changed things.
But they've they've got a guy's name that is so stupid, Slapjack.
Slapjack.
Slapjack. So you're trying to tell me that of all the names that are probably that you can think of, that's the name you gave a wrestler is Slapjack?
You know why they did that? Because they want to have some street cred. Huh?
Street cred. Well, that works for me. Well, I'll tell you who's really surprising me right now. I know we're getting up is, you know, Eric Young, his potential has just skyrocketed ever since he went back.
Yeah, great.
Ever since he went back to Impact, he's a different wrestler. He looks good. He's got the mics and he's going.
Always
crazy.
Had the mic skills.
Yes,
he's never
good.
Been used when he was with TNA Impact earlier. Uh-huh. They changed his role so many times from a comedy role to an insane role to just anything. You know, he was like a lackey sometimes. And he just did whatever it needed to be done. Hats off to Eric. I mean, honestly, I've been a fan of this dude ever since I saw him. So, congratulations.
And we're going to jump back on to WWE one more time because I've got the Royal Rumble will be coming up soon. And I have just a sneaking suspicion that we're fixing to see somebody make their debut for the second time. And I hope that he does. I really do. And I'm hoping I see the Cowboy, James Storm, come back. And there's been rumors that he's been talking with the WWE again about making a comeback to their ring. And what better way to do it than the Royal Rumble?
Yeah, I would rather see him. I mean, I love James. I really do. He's in my top 10, I would think, okay? From the last 15 years, he'd be one of my top 10. No longer than 15.
Gotcha.
But I think I would like to see a reuniting of him and Bobby Roode and reform Beer Money some way, if they have the copyright rights to that.
Well, yeah, if they're smart enough, and I don't know about Vince sometimes being smart enough, but if Vince was smart enough, he would bring back Beer Money. But, you know, Michael Calvin, he said the same thing, we'll be buried just like the rest.
Yeah.
It could happen. I mean, Mike, you are correct, sir. It could happen.
It could happen.
But it might, but you never know. Let's see what happens if Bobby Roode. Well, where the heck is Bobby?
He did come back on Monday Night Raw, and he took
the open
challenge at the end against Drew McIntyre. Uh-huh. Like I said, I haven't seen all. I'm about halfway through, but I do know he came back, and he took on McIntyre at the very end. So,
well, I'm getting tired of the Thunderdome like we've talked about the last time, and it just wasn't a Clash of Champions to me without the audience, without the fans.
Okay, I understand, but we got to take it for what we have.
Take it for
what we have, and I enjoyed it. You thought it was good. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, that's perfect. We'll write that in the dictionary.
Yeah.
We'll put that in the third page and where the G's are. But, no, anything else for you, sir, that you were seeing or you know of any rumors going around?
RVD and I guess his lady friend are no longer involved with Impact. And somebody said, should they go to AEW? And I said, no, I don't care. You know?
No.
No, I'm,
don't
I've
care
never
for
been,
RVD.
I've never
don't
cared
care.
For him, yeah.
Don't care for RVD and don't care for that girl either. So don't really give two rep. But RVD was talking about him getting inducted to the WWE Hall of Fame. And he wants somebody, an announcer, to do it, I guess. I don't know. But who cares? RVD, go smoke some weed. So, go smoke some weed.
It's 420 somewhere.
Yeah, it's 420 for him all the damn time.
Yeah,
time. So it, but other than that, I don't really have anything else. It was great to be back on the podcast. It was great to hear about Clash of Champions. And, Zane, we miss you. Let's see if we can get a three-way going again one of these days, brother.
It should be fairly soon.
To.
It will be soon, okay?
All right.
Okay,
sounds
we'll
good.
Talk to you later. Thanks, Chris.
Not a problem. Anytime.
Okay. This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Those guys look big and mean. I think they want to hurt us.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
I like to hurt people.
Pretending to wrestle is the most fun in the whole world.
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. If you don't agree with them, get your own dang pod.
Dummy.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And in the immortal words of Ric Flair,
woo!
watch that freshly squeezed stuff.
I poo-pooed it.
Well, thank you, baby. It's all about the work. As my daddy always said, I can never learn to shut up.
It was a decent pay-per-view.
It was awesome.
It was a good pay-per-view.
It was awesome.
What was the... It's worse than Cody Rhodes' dyed hair. A cryptic tweet.
And she needed to trim those daggum nose hairs. So we'll go Gossam. We'll say it's Gossam.
It's Gossam. There you go. I love it. I like it. Oh, shoot. That was to happen. I've got a bunker deep in the hills of North Carolina. My husband's going to.
Can I come? So,
I will always be a part of the wrestling industry. It's who I am. It's in my blood. It's just all about, you know, experiencing it and embracing it and living it.